Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
A few months ago, I was praying about what to speak about this morning, and I felt very strongly God pointing me toward Psalm 23. But I quickly ignored that thought because the last two messages I've done have been on the Lord's Prayer. And I thought, well, I'm not going to pull apart another famous passage of Scripture in the Bible. I need to be more creative than that. And so I ignored that. And then a few weeks ago, Chris Blackett spoke on the first half of Psalm 23. And as we were chatting about it afterwards, I felt God sort of poke me in the ribs a bit and remind me of what he had showed me a few months earlier. And so my apologies for not being more creative this morning, but I am going to continue on with Psalm 23, and I'm going to call it the Valley Experience. So let's read, shall we, this wonderful psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so when Chris shared, he asked five questions to do with the first half, the first three verses of this psalm. And the first thing he asked was, is the Lord your shepherd? And he talked about that. He asked, do you lack? And he spoke about the fact that we can't fill a need with a want and the difference between those things. The third question he asked was, are you satisfied with your life? He asked, is he restoring your life? And he talked about the fact that restoration actually takes place when we rest and in that rest. And finally, he asked, who is leading you in paths of righteousness? And the path here that David is talking about, David being the one that wrote the psalm, is a path that has already been made. And it's a path that we can't make. It's a path that we simply walk in because Jesus is the only one that can make us righteous. And if you haven't heard that message, then I encourage you to download it or get a copy and have a listen. And so then we come to verse 4, which is funny, it was prayed about even in the prayer meeting, which says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So previously, David here, previously he's talking about God, who is his shepherd, who is leading him, who is guiding him, who is restoring him. And yet the next part of the journey, because Psalm 23 is a journey in a sense, there are no still waters and there are no green pastures. Instead, there is a valley. And I'm just going to read a little bit from a book called Safe in the Shepherd's Arms. And it was given to me by some friends a few years ago by Max Licardo. And it just will help to set the scene for this morning. And so if we can have that first picture, thanks. Summer in ancient Palestine. A woolly bunch of bobbing heads follow the shepherd out of the gate. The morning sun has scarcely crested the horizon and he is already leading his flock. Like every other day, he guides them through the gate and out into the fields. But unlike most days, the shepherd will not return home tonight. He will not rest on his bed, and the sheep will not sleep in their fenced pasture. This is the day the shepherd takes the sheep to the high country. Today he leads his flock to the mountains. He has no other choice. Springtime grazing has left his pasture bare, so he must seek new fields. With no companion other than his sheep and no desire other than their welfare, he leads them to the deep grass of the hillside. The shepherd and his flock will be gone for weeks, perhaps months. They will stay well into the autumn until the grass is gone and the chill is unbearable. Not all shepherds make this journey. The trek is long. The path is dangerous. Poisonous plants can infect the flock. Wild animals can attack the flock. There are narrow trails and dark valleys. Some shepherds choose the security of the barren pasture below, but the good shepherd doesn't. He knows the path. He has walked this trail many times. Besides, he is prepared. staff in hand and rod attached to his belt. He will lead his flock through the valley and to the mountains. And if we can just have that other picture, Phil. And so that gives us a little bit of a visual or a little bit of an image about the kind of valley that David is talking about. And I was trying to think of some different valleys or journeys that I've been through in my own life. And a few come to mind. A few years ago, maybe 6 or 7, I was trying to find a new location for our annual youth leaders retreat. And so off I trekked in my little car, my little blue Corolla, into the deep thickness of the Warburton Valley. And this is before Google Maps and smartphones, and so I just had a Melways, and I also had no idea where I was going. But hours later, I ended up down some dirt, steep, beaten track in the middle of nowhere, and it was winter time, and so it was wet, and my car was getting bogged, and they probably were only potholes that I was driving over, but it felt like I was driving through men's camp four-wheel drive territory. And I was completely lost and stressed and freaking out, and so I called Graham. Do you remember that? And I was pretty distraught because I'd gone down this track and I didn't know if I could get back up again, and I didn't know how did I was going to get back, and clearly there was no retreat at this point. There was no signs of life, actually. And so I was really, really flipping out. Anyway, somehow, I don't know if it was Graham or whatever, but I managed to calm myself down and I just simply drove back the way that I came, which seems logical now, but it wasn't at the time. And I came back at the end of the day and I hadn't found any retreats and I hadn't gotten out of my car and I was just glad to be alive, actually. And so that was the Warburton Valley experience. And then another time a few years ago, Aaron and I went away with some friends of ours to Bright, and we decided to go to the snow because I think there's a mountain near Bright with snow on it. Anyway, we didn't go skiing or whatever other snow activities. We just sort of went up there and walked around a bit. Anyway, we drove up in Aaron's car and it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Anyway, we got out, walked around and built snowmen, whatever. And we came back and the lights had been left on. And so the battery was dead. And it wasn't actually Aaron that left the lights on. But anyway, and so it was funny at first when you're with friends. Oh, we're going to be stuck in the snow. It was funny, but then after about 45 minutes when it was getting really cold and really dark and we had seen no one drive past because everyone had gone home for the day, we started to get a bit of a glimpse of the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And we thought, are we really going to be stuck out here all night? And I don't even, can't remember what happened, but somehow someone drove past and jumps out of the car and we got out and it was okay. And so that was that journey. And then recently, over the last 6 months, I've been through a different kind of valley. And I'd say I'm still going through it. And it's one that has taught me a lot about what it means to have a shepherd. In late October last year, I discovered that I had some very large masses in my abdomen, and my doctor called them lumps in my belly. And after a lot of tests and doctor's appointments and examinations and seeing people who didn't actually know what they were, I had some pretty major surgery in December, just before Christmas. And the operation went well and they removed these masses successfully. But the results were that I had ovarian cancer. And so they found that the right side was cancerous and the left side was diagnosed as a borderline cancer, so halfway between cancer and being benign. And Aaron and I had already been on a bit of a journey since these masses or these lumps were discovered, obviously not knowing what they were and listening to all sorts of doctors give their opinions, waiting lists and all that sort of stuff that you deal with hospitals. And so we sort of saw this operation in December as the end of the journey or the end of the valley. And so we were pretty shocked when we realised that we were not only not at the end of it, but we were kind of had not even started going through it. And so I recovered from the operation, which took a while, and then started the process of talking with doctors about treatment. And in January, I had another operation. I had a few more procedures, more tests and so forth. And so that has been and still is a valley experience that Aaron and I have been on together. And probably if you asked everyone in this room, we've all had different valley experiences in life. And for some, it's health related, and I'm sure much worse than my situation. For others, it's relational, or it could be financial or spiritual, or job related, or to do with our families. But the point is that we all have valley experiences, or we will have them in our life if we haven't already. David had them. Psalm 23 is not just a nice poem. Psalm 23 was written from experience. And Jesus told us that we would have these valley experiences. In John 16, he said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And so we shouldn't really be that surprised when we find ourselves in a valley, and yet we are. But when we do find ourselves there, there are a few things that we need to remember based on this beautiful psalm by David. And as I share a bit of my testimony this morning, I've got four things that have helped me and that I think will help us as we go through the valley experiences of life. So number one, the valley is a shadow of death. When we're going through a tough time, it can feel like it's never going to end, and it can feel like there's no hope and it's too hard and we want to give up. But we need to remember that David said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," it's a shadow of death, and a shadow cannot actually harm us. The shadow of a dog can't bite us. The shadow of a serpent can't sting us. The shadow of a sword can't kill us. A shadow presents no actual harm. It just looks like it will. And so we can't be fooled by what we see. And when you're in the valley, where our eyes and our focus need to be are on Christ. When there is a shadow, and this is an amazing thing, there's got to be light. Shadows don't exist in pure darkness. And even as I was walking this morning, and I was looking at the light, looking at the sun, the shadow fell behind me. And so when we're in the valley and we're looking at the sun, the S-O-N, the shadow of death still falls behind us. David says in another psalm, he says, "I will keep my eyes always on the Lord." Always meaning in the green pastures and by the still waters, but also in the valley. "I will keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken." And so what we focus on is really, really important. And for me, when my eyes and my attention and my focus was on God, was on who he is, was on his character and his truth, then it was a lot easier to walk through this journey. But the times when my eyes and my focus and attention were on my situation and were on that word cancer and everything that entails, when my focus was on doctors, that's when it got really, really hard to walk through. And also, it's a shadow that we walk through, not run through. We don't stand in it, but we walk through it. And it can seem like a really small word in that psalm, but it's really important. Charles Spurgeon said that to walk indicates the steady advance of a soul who knows its road, knows its end, resolves to follow the path, feels safe, which I find is amazing. It's possible to feel safe in the valley, and therefore is perfectly calm and composed. I don't know about the perfectly calm and composed bit. I don't know any time in my life that I've ever been perfectly calm or composed. But the point is that we walk. We walk through. We don't need to run through the valley. It's not actually going to get us out any quicker. And I know that because I've tried and it doesn't work. There are some things, there are some experiences in life that we just have to walk through and be patient. And I'm not a patient person by nature, and so it doesn't come easy. But this is one of those situations where step by step, day by day, we walk through the valley. Corinthians says we walk by faith, not by sight. And the other thing is we're walking through the valley. Meaning we don't stay in the valley, we don't set up camp in the valley, we're not supposed to live in the valley, we're not even going to get lost in the valley like how I got lost in the Warburton Valley. remember, our shepherd is with us. He's leading us. He's guiding us. So we are walking through a shadow of death. The valley is just a season of life that we go through. And what we do in the valley will determine what side we come out on. And so that's firstly. And secondly, in the valley, there is no need to fear. I love that David declares, I will fear no evil. He's so sure and he's so confident, and I just love that. And I find it interesting that he doesn't say there will be no evil. He says he will fear no evil. Being in the valley isn't fun. When the shepherd leads his flock through the valley, there's danger, there's evil, there's poisonous plants, and there's other animals that can attack the flock. But David here is talking about his response in the valley. Despite the absence of green pastures and no still waters, and despite the shadow of death, he still did not fear the darkness of the valley, which I think is just an amazing declaration that he makes. Joyce Meyer says that fear is simply faith in what Satan says. And I just love that. Fear is faith in what Satan says. And what does he say to us? He lies to us. He only knows how to lie. The Bible says he couldn't speak truth if he tried. And so fear is having faith in lies. And so we need to ask ourselves, what lies are we being told in the valley? What lies are we believing? Satan will always use fear when we're in the valley. I joked about, you know, being stuck in the snow and stuck in the Warburton Valley. But even then there was fear. And so fear is a common tactic that he uses. So instead of having fear in Satan, instead of having faith in Satan and faith in his lies, we need to have faith in our shepherd. And I think that's one of the choices that we face when we're in the valley. Fear or faith? Fear is easy. It's not hard to be afraid. It's very easy to be afraid. Throughout the last 6 months, there have been plenty of opportunities for fear. Fear that cancer has spread. Fear that the kinds of treatments that the doctors were wanting to put me through. Fear that Aaron and I felt for the future. And so I have been afraid, no doubt about it. But there have also been opportunities and great times of amazing faith. Even in the valley, there are ups and downs. And what we need to remember is when we're faced with evil, when we're faced with fear, there is an opportunity to respond differently. There is an opportunity that we have to respond with faith. Whether it's fear that we have of failure, fear of loss, fear of going without, fear of rejection, fear of the future, fear of death even. Whenever those fears present themselves, we have a choice about whether we're going to be engulfed by that fear or not. And for me, sometimes it's been a daily decision that I've had to make. When things are not good, when things are evil, am I going to fear or am I going to take up my shield of faith? Ephesians 6 says, take up the shield of faith which distinguishes all of the flaming darts of the evil one. More than ever in the valley, we need to be wearing our armor. And so that when those fiery darts start coming, and they will come, we can hold up our shield. God's given us the tools and the ability to deal with everything that the enemy throws at us. And the enemy will always want to crush our hope for the future. It's one of the battles I've had to face regularly. Satan will always try and get us to look at the size of our problems and battles and become overwhelmed and become afraid of them. But Max Lucado says in that book, he says, don't measure the size of the mountain. Talk to the one who can move it. Instead of carrying the world on your shoulders, talk to the one who holds the universe on his. Hope is only a look away. And so it is our faith in God. It is our faith in our shepherd that, and it's in his love for us. It's faith in his love for us that conquers fear, that defeats fear. And there's a poem that I found when I was studying this part of verse 4. It says, faith is trusting what the eye cannot see. Eyes see the prowling lion. Faith sees Daniel's angel. Eyes see storms, faith sees Noah's rainbow. Eyes see giants, faith sees Canaan. Your eyes see your faults, your faith sees your Saviour. Your eyes see your guilt, your faith sees his blood. Your eyes see your grave, your faith sees a city whose builder and maker is God. Your eyes look in the mirror and see a sinner, a failure, a promise breaker, but by faith you look into the mirror and see a robed prodigal bearing the ring of grace on your finger and the kiss of your father on your face. 1 John says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. I said before that it's really easy to become afraid, and I think sometimes we think that the valleys we're in is God punishing us for something, and that is such a lie. That is the biggest lie that we can believe. Valleys are not punishment. Punishment is not of God. Jesus took that away on the cross for us. Fear and punishment is not how a shepherd leads his sheep. The shepherd leads his sheep in perfect love with only their welfare at heart. And that's the same way that our shepherd leads us in perfect love. And I can't help but wonder if the reason that David was able to say so confidently and so surely that he would fear no evil, not that there would be no evil, but that he would fear no evil, was because he was secure in God's perfect love for him. In the valley, we can respond with fear or we can respond in faith. It's our choice. Number three, God is with us in the valley. The reason that we don't have to fear, the reason that David didn't fear, was because he knew that God was with him and God is with us. The shepherd never leaves his sheep. He doesn't leave them and make them fend for themselves. He's with them the whole time. And I can honestly say that throughout the valley I've been in right from the beginning, I've known God's amazing presence in my life. And even the night in hospital that I was first diagnosed, I woke up at about 2 o'clock in the morning and I went to go for a walk and I was so incredibly peaceful. It was so strange because it's so not like me, and that's how I knew it was God. But I was so at peace, and I felt as I was walking through the corridors of the hospital, and I can still remember it, I felt God tell me to read Romans 8. And so I got back into bed, and particularly in those early months, I used to read this passage over and over and over again. And I've just picked out a few verses from that chapter that helped me. Verse 11, and if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life or quicken your mortal bodies. 14, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. 28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those that love him. 31, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I have never felt more close to God in my whole life than I have in this time. And in the valley, more than ever, we need to know that God is with us. How do we know that God is with us? By reading passages like that, by studying his word, by reading the book that was given to us, for us, to help us, to encourage us. It was that way for me. It was listening to worship music that reminded me again and again of his truth, so that no matter what happened in the valley, no matter what doctors said or what surgeries I faced or what depth of emotion that I was going through, I knew that I was not alone, and I have never, never been alone. God has gone out of his way to remind me time and time again that he is with me. Whether it's been through that amazing peace that goes beyond understanding and comprehension, whether it's been through other people, whether it's been, you know, I've had 5 or 6 separate words of encouragement or even prophecy that have just been so amazingly timely. It's not even funny. And it's just reminded me again and again that God is with me, that he knows me, that he hasn't forgotten, that he's in control and that he's there. And it's just reassured me and brought me so much comfort. And David says in this verse, he says, you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Rod, if you look at what a rod is, it was an instrument of authority used for counting, guiding, rescuing and protecting the sheep. And even those are pretty amazing words. Counting, guiding, rescuing, protecting. And then the staff was an instrument of support. And when David says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Comfort means comfort, but it also means reassurance. And more than ever in the valley, God wants to reassure us over and over again of who he is, and that he is there. And I'll just read a commentary that I found that talks about the rod and the staff. It says, the same protector with a capital P, the same gracious and merciful God who was with David in the green pasture will be still with David, leading him, guiding his steps, shepherding him, keeping him from evil. They, the rod and the staff, make me feel that however long, however dreary the way through the dark valley, I shall still have thy guidance and thy protection. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, fear not. And there's that word again. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. That is who our God is. He is with us. God is with you. And number four, and finally, we walk through the valley as victors, not victims. And this is probably, I don't know, maybe a reflection more of verse 5 when it talks about when David says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And yet I believe that this is an attitude and a mentality that we need to have in the valley. And probably this is the point that God has pressed upon me the strongest personally just over the last month or even few weeks, because it's so easy when we're in a valley to think of ourselves as victims. Poor me. It's not fair. What have I done to deserve this? Why is life easier for others? And blah, blah, blah. And self-pity and having a victim mentality is really, really dangerous. It's dangerous because it's not based on truth. And as long as we have a victim mentality, Satan will have the upper hand because that's exactly how he wants us to think. A few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I went to hospital again on my birthday with a twisted bowel because of scar tissue from my other operations. And I felt sorry for myself. Everyone else felt sorry for me. Even the nurses felt sorry for me. So it was okay that I guessed I felt sorry for me and I joined in a bit on the pity party. And I was driving to work a few days later and that week particularly was a rough week. And I had to remind myself, I had to verbally say to myself and remind myself of the truth that I am a victor, not a victim. Quit thinking like a victim because that is not who I am. My Bible doesn't talk about being victims. My Bible talks about the victory that we have as overcomers. 1 John 5:4, for every child of God defeats this evil world and we achieve this victory through our faith. Romans 8:37, yet amid all of these things, we are more than conquerors. We're not just conquerors, we're more than conquerors. And we gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the truth. That is who we are. And that is what we have because of what Christ has done for us. And when we constantly see ourselves and think of ourselves as victims, we think defeated. And when we think defeated, we live defeated. And the Bible says, as a man thinks, so he is. And so we've got to remember that our circumstances and the experiences that we have don't actually change who we are in Christ. It doesn't actually change what Jesus did on the cross for us. Our experiences don't change how God feels for us. It doesn't change his love for us. It's because of him that we can declare that we are victors. It's because of our shepherd. And so I'm not saying we can't be realistic and we can't be honest about the things that we're facing. I'm not saying we need to spiritualize everything, but it's about the kind of attitude and mentality that we're going to have when we're in the valley. And we can and we should have the mentality that we are victors. The other thing that we need to know is we don't have to feel victorious to be victorious. We don't have to feel a lot of the things that we are, actually. And it's interesting, I was reading Psalm 22 just last week, I think it was, and that's a psalm also by David. And in Psalm 22, David cries out to God and he asks God, why have you forsaken me? And, you know, even David felt like God wasn't near at times. But if you look at Psalm 22 compared to 23, Psalm 22 is all about how David feels. The emotions, the waves of fear, loneliness, weakness. But Psalm 23 is about security. It's a declaration of firm belief and trust. Psalm 22 asks for help, but Psalm 23 believes that help has come. And there is a time for both, definitely. And I still regularly cry out for help. But I think that we need to learn to declare more often. We've got no problems in asking, but when it comes to believing and declaring, it's a whole other thing. And I've always been someone who, right from the beginning in my Christian life, have believed in the power of declaring who we are. And I've learnt again to declare the goodness and faithfulness of my shepherd. And that's why I loved Romans 8, because it is a chapter declaring hope and freedom and life and God's love and God's victory. We don't have to wait to feel victorious. We just need to start declaring it. We just need to start believing it, because it's who we are. And the amazing thing is that there are victories in the valley. And I've had so many victories throughout this experience. And, you know, I was diagnosed at stage one, which is incredibly rare for ovarian cancer, because there's no symptoms. And so by the time it gets discovered, it's often at stage 3 and 4, and it's spread and it's really bad. But with my case, because it was discovered so early, it meant that it hadn't spread anywhere else in my body. It means that I don't need chemotherapy. It means, and actually that diagnosis in the beginning, that my left side was a borderline cancer, was changed in January to being benign, which was just amazing. And so I've still got to be obviously monitored. And it doesn't mean that this journey is over. It's still going and it's still hard, but it's good to celebrate the victories along the way. And we need to celebrate the victories in the valley. The Bible says we are to rejoice always, to be thankful in all circumstances. And as long as we have a victim mentality, we don't rejoice and we're not going to be thankful. And so that is verse 4 of Psalm 23. And clearly, I'm not going to go into verse 5 and 6. But verse 4 reminds us that the valley, and if the worship team want to come up, that would be great. The valley is a shadow of death that we walk through. We get out on the other side. There is no need to fear, that we can choose to respond in faith. We don't have to respond with fear. God is with us. Our great shepherd is always with us, leading us, guiding us, protecting us. No matter what goes on, he is with us and he will help us. And that we can have the mentality and attitude that we are victors, not victims. Not because of how great we are, but purely because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And he won the victory for us. And that is our inheritance. That is who we are. And maybe I will talk about verse 5 and 6 at some point later on in the year. But for now and for today, those verses, for anyone who's in the valley, are the hope that we can hold on to. That he anoints my head with oil, that my cup runs over, that surely, I love that word, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, we just We just come before you and thank you so much that we have in you our great shepherd. I thank you so much for these amazing words that David has left us with to give us hope and encouragement, to give us an amazing sense of peace. And I thank you for even those words that you said, Jesus, that you have overcome the world, that in you we can take heart and have peace. And so I pray, Lord, I pray for every single person here that might be going through a valley right now. And Lord, you know who they are and you know the situations and the experiences of every single person here. And Father, I pray that you would bring an amazing sense of peace and comfort into every person's life, even now. Father, I just pray that you would strengthen us, that you would strengthen us with your amazing love, that we would more and more become secure and sure of that perfect love that we have in you. And Lord, that you would help us to make those choices, to have faith and not fear, that we would choose to respond and see ourselves as victors and not victims as we journey through the valleys that we go through. And so, Father, I pray that you would minister your amazing power into people's hearts and lives right now. And I give you thanks and praise for who you are, for the amazing God of love and provision and healing, that you are a God that does perform miracles. And I pray that you would just have your way in each heart even now. And we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.